started and hit the live stream button. Let everybody get sat down and comfortable. So Stephen, what we're going to do is we'll do the Bible study, and then if no other teens come, Dimitri and I will just stay in here with you guys, but if others come, we'll slip out. And you're going to be doing the requests up here for the camera. Oh, well, that's actually a good question. Do you guys normally do the prayer requests on camera? Then I guess you can do it down there. I'm usually not in here. This is all foreign to me. So here's a question for you guys. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 1. So who's the main character of the book of Daniel? It was a trick question because technically you could say Daniel. He's the human character. But the book is about God and his faithfulness even in the exile there. So it was a trick question. Did you write now?
No,
DT was telling a story. Thank you for joining us on the live stream. He was telling a story about his biology teacher because right before the camera came on, I asked the question, who's the main character of the book of Daniel? And it was a trick question because technically it's God and his faithfulness is the main theme of the book of Daniel. But anyways, thanks for joining us here tonight. We're doing things a little bit differently because there's only a few of us here. There's about 10 or so of us here. And so we're going to do the Bible study here and now, and then we'll do things a little bit differently. So thanks for tuning in for the Bible study. We'll be in the book of Daniel, and we'll be in chapter number 1. We're going to look at some principles of being cool in a crisis. Principles of being cool in a crisis. So let's pray and then let's get into God's Word. Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, even in this time of panic and crisis in our country, Lord, I just pray that and just thank you for the opportunity to meet here together. Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen those with health issues already. I pray that you would just strengthen them, comfort them. Lord, I pray for those that have the coronavirus that you would heal them, and Lord, we pray for those that do not have it, that you would just keep us healthy and keep it away from us, Lord. We do pray that you would just eradicate this, but Lord, we pray that your will would be done as you can accomplish much during this time. Lord, we pray now as we get into your word that you would just bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to look at some principles of being cool in a crisis. The teenagers on Sunday nights, we just finished going through the book of James. And so the teenagers, I asked them what they want to go through, and they said the book of Daniel. So we'll start that later for the teenagers. But as I was thinking about, Pastor asked me if I would do the Bible study tonight, I was thinking through, and Daniel came to mind. Because in our country, we're in a time of crisis. Crisis, according to the online dictionary, is a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. And whether it's contrived by our imaginations, whether it's a real crisis or whatever it may be, a crisis is a time where a person feels they're under intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. And that's what we're facing in our country with this coronavirus and with all the uncertainty and the panic and not knowing what's going to happen or if the stores will be open tomorrow, the borders to states will be open tomorrow. And so it's a time of great uncertainty. And here when we get into the book of Daniel, oftentimes we look at this and we know the story very well of Daniel chapter 1, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to eat the king's meat. And that's often how we teach it and how we use it. But here we also see how to handle ourselves in times of a crisis. As we get into the chapter here, the Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. You see, this was the time when God was judging the nation of Israel. The northern tribes have already been taken away, and God is beginning to judge the southern tribes. And Nebuchadnezzar comes from Babylon, and he comes to besiege the city and to take captives away. And this is a time of great crisis. Not knowing what's going to happen as Nebuchadnezzar is coming and besieging the city, worrying about what's going to happen the next day, what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. And our media is making us feel that way, and we're being just inundated with all this information and all these facts and everything, and it's scary. It makes it feel uncertain. And that's what they were going through in the nation, in the southern tribe of Judah. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. You see, not only did Nebuchadnezzar come, but God allowed the king Jehoiakim to be taken away. You see, God gave him into his hand. The last time we have lost a president similar to this would be John F. Kennedy, where he was assassinated, and the uncertainty that would have brought. Think of if a government official tomorrow was just taken away, taken out of office and taken away. That would bring so much uncertainty. Who's going to come in? Who's going to fill their place? What's going to happen if there's enemies outside and we don't have a leader? A time of great crisis for the land of Judah. But not only that, but part of the vessels of the house of God were taken away and taken back to his land. And the Bible says, put into the treasure house of Nebuchadnezzar's God. Little g God. He took these vessels, these things that were set apart for worship to God, and he took them and put them into the house of his little g God. If you were an Israelite that was trying to obey the law and that loved the Lord, this was a very troubling thing. God took the temple very seriously, and this king just came in and took these things. But not only, it doesn't end there. The Bible goes on to say, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding in science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So the king was taken away. The vessels of the house of God were taken away, and now children, teenagers, young adults possibly were taken to stand before the king. It's just one thing after another. And it seems in our country that it just feels like one thing after another with this. And it's scary. It brings fear to us. Think of the parents whose children were taken from them to a land that they might never see them again. For these people to take them, and who knows what's going to happen to them. Are they going to kill them? Are they going to... What are they going to do? We don't know. There's uncertainty. As a parent, that is a frightening thing. But also for those young teenagers, those young adults, those children that were taken, they faced a crisis of their own on top of being taken. The Bible says in verse 5, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." You see, they were faced with a crisis of, we are given this wine and this meat, and for some reason, this meat was against the Old Testament law. For some reason, it was offensive to God, whether it was unclean meat, whether it was meat that was offered unto idols. For some reason, this was offensive to eat to God. But if you didn't eat the meat, you would be offending the earthly king. And so they're stuck in this crisis of, do I obey God, or do I obey this king and take the comfortable thing, take the thing that's easy? And in times of crisis, we're often faced with the same decisions. Do we obey God, or do we take the easy way out? And so these are the crises that these young men are facing, as the Bible here introduces us to a few young men. Verse 6 says, "Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego." Verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." You see, here we have the first principle of living cool in a crisis, of being cool in a crisis. It's to live by faith. We see that in verse 8. Because behind Daniel's purposing in his heart, behind his setting his heart to this purpose, we have faith. Daniel's faith in God is what made him decide to purpose in his heart not to eat these things, not to eat this meat or drink this wine. And you see, Daniel had more faith in his unchanging God than he had fear in the uncertain circumstances. You see, Daniel could have been afraid. And from a human perspective, we could look at that and say, in this situation, he was fearful for his life. And so that he could serve the Lord later, he decided, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to obey here so that later on I can serve the Lord. But Daniel had more faith in God than he had fear in man. And so he said, no, I'm going to obey my heavenly Father. I'm going to obey God rather than fear the king and obey him. Fear what they might do to me. You see, Daniel was living by faith. And in times when we are in crisis, when we are living in uncertainty of what could happen, of if we're going to wake up and have the coronavirus, or if a loved one's going to have this, or whatever the crisis, not just the virus today, but we'll always have crises. Will we have faith? Is our faith deeper than our fear? Is our faith stronger than our fear? Daniel's was. And if you turn over to Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, the three young men that were with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is their Babylonian names, they had faith that was deeper than fear as well. They had faith that was stronger than the fear they were feeling. You see, whenever I hear these names, it's always easier to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for me personally, because when I was growing up, my mom would tell us this story of her sister and her went to Sunday school. And after Sunday school, they came home and my grandma asked, "What did you learn in Sunday school today?" And my aunt said, "We learned about Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go." And so for me, it just always sticks with me that it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And oftentimes I have a hard time remembering their Jewish names. But here we have these three young men, these three men that were with Daniel in the earlier crisis. And here in verse 16, the Bible records for us, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.'" You see, the king was telling them to bow down to this idol, And they could have given in like all the other Israelites that were there in the captivity, like all the other people. They could have just given in and bowed down. And again, from a human perspective, we might look at that and say, well, you're trying to save your life. But you see, these men had faith in an unchanging God. And they answered Nebuchadnezzar and they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You see, as Christians, we're faced with this very same response every time we come to a crisis, whether it's the one we're facing today or one we face later on in life. Are we going to trust in God no matter what happens, or are we going to live in fear? Are we going to serve fear? You see, these young men and Daniel earlier in the book choose, rather than to give in to their fear and serve that fear, that they're going to have faith in God, that whether he delivers them physically from that or not, they were going to continue to have faith in him. You see, the Bible's clear that we're not promised tomorrow. And when we're faced with something like this coronavirus, we oftentimes fear that we could get it. And again, it's possible that any of us could. But are we going to allow fear to control us? I'm not talking about precautions, but it's easy to be so overcome with fear that we go to bed wondering, is someone I love going to catch this and die? Is someone going to am I going to get this and pass it on to someone else I love? Whatever the crisis may be, we're faced with fear, uncertainty. And because of that, we have to choose. Are we going to have more faith in God? Are we going to live by faith, as the Bible calls us to do? Or are we going to live in that fear? Are we going to give in to that fear? See, these young men decided that they were going to live by faith. And we'll see that God blessed them for that. But if we're going to live cool in a crisis, we have to first live by faith. But then we also have to stand up for what is right and do what is right. Verse 9 records for us, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances, be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. You see, Daniel purposed in his heart. He lived by faith. He chose to do what was right. But then he also stood by what was right. He continued on with what was right. He did what was right. He didn't take the adversity that he faced and run or hide in fear after he faced some adversity during this crisis. No, he continued on. And during this time of crisis in our nation, we may be faced with times where we have to stand up for what is right. We have to continue to do what's right, even in the midst of this crisis. Oftentimes when we're faced with a very difficult time in our lives, that's when it's easier to go off and do that which we know is wrong and put off that which we know is right. Maybe, for example, God has laid it on our heart to help someone out, maybe financially, physically, and God's laid that on our heart. But we're afraid that, well, what if I need that money for food or toilet paper? Because apparently that's what everyone needs in a crisis. But what if I need that money for something else? And we allow that fear to control what we do, whether we do that which is right or that which is wrong. What if I go to help that person and I end up getting sick. And these are very real dangers that we face. But like Daniel, we have to do what is right, continue to do what is right, even when we're faced with a crisis. Even if it means that God could see us through it, or He could hold back His hand and allow something to happen. You see, we live in a sin-cursed world. Judah brought this upon themselves. The nation of Israel brought this upon themselves by disobeying God, disobeying His law, by being so full of idolatry. But because of the sin-cursed world we live in, we face crises as well. Sometimes in our lives, they're brought about because of our sin, because of the situations we put ourselves in. But maybe like the one we face today, it's just a result of living in a sin-cursed world. But even when we're faced with those times of crisis, we need to do what is right. You see, Daniel could have given in and said, okay, I stood up for what I believed in. I tried. That's good enough. But no, he purposed. He continued on with that. He didn't take no for an answer. He continued to do what was right. And when we're in a crisis, in order to be cool in a crisis, we have to live by faith. We have to stand up for what's right and do what's right. And then lastly, we have to help others. We have to help others. I already mentioned this a little bit, but here in verse 15, the Bible records for us, "And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse." You see, inadvertently, Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, inadvertently, they helped these other Jewish young men and women to do what was right. Now, I'm sure that those other Israelites were not very happy that their steak was taken away. But because of Daniel's obedience, it helped others, whether they wanted to be helped or not. And during times of crisis, our testimony is being watched. People are watching us to see how Christians face this type of thing. And you see, these four young men, they did what was right. And because of that, others, in this instance, were forced to do what was right. But how often is it easier to do something when we see someone else doing right? It's easier when we see that person going and helping others, or giving, even though money's tight or their time is tight or we're supposed to be quarantined. It's easier when we see someone else to come alongside them sometimes than it is when we're just alone and we're faced with our fear. And so our obedience, our faithfulness, our faith can help others, other peers, other Christians. But not only did Daniel's faith help his peers, but it also helped those in leadership, those under that leadership in that nation. Continue on in verse 17. And the Bible says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." You see, because of their obedience and their faith, they helped those other Israelites to obey what they should have been doing anyways. But also, it helped King Nebuchadnezzar. These men became counselors to Nebuchadnezzar. And inadvertently, because of their counseling of King Nebuchadnezzar and their wisdom that God gave them, the people in the nation there of Babylon were helped because of that. And as we read through Daniel, we see that even to the point of this king and some of these people having a deeper understanding of Jehovah God and possibly even belief. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm sure that that men and women that came in contact with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they looked at them, they saw the Lord. They saw the faith that they had, and quite possibly they came to faith through that. We don't know for sure, but they definitely had a better understanding of who Jehovah was. Because later on in the book, Nebuchadnezzar says, there's no other God like Jehovah. And so the impact that these men had because of their faith, because of how they responded to this crisis in their life. And you see, there's a world today that during this crisis and during others, think back to 9/11 as well, that was another crisis where people turn and are looking for something. They realize, what if I would have been in those towers? What if I get this virus? What's going to happen to me? And if they see Christians cowering in fear, hiding behind closed doors, not trying to help, not trying to share, not trying to be that testimony. I'm not talking about being unwise, but we have countless opportunities to be testimony to those around us, even in this time. We can have an impact that might not be written down, but it can change lives. God can use us as Christians in this time, in this crisis, to help countless others, to show others Christ. But we have to, rather than just living in fear, we have to allow our faith to overcome that fear. We have to handle ourselves appropriately in time of a crisis. As Christians, are we going to live by faith, as we're called to do? The just shall live by faith. Are we going to continue to do what we know is right, even if we're told that it's not? What if the government decided churches all should just be shut down? Should we just stop live streaming, stop putting content out there for people? Are we going to help others? You know, men here that are helping others by saying, I'm going to the store. If you need something, comment on this post and I will drop it off at your door. But what about us? Are we helping in ways? Doesn't mean we have to go out and administer medicine and tests. But are we helping in the ways that God puts on our heart? The ways that God leads us to help? Or are we too afraid to go past our quarantine zone or our comfort zone? You see, as Christians, we have a responsibility during these times of crises. But are we going to live up to the faith we're called to have? That no matter what happens, whether we live or whether we die, will we serve the Lord? Will we stand up for what's right? What about us here? Are we going to have this testimony in a crisis? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much just for this example of Daniel in this time of crisis. A very difficult time for him. A very difficult time for all the Israelites that were taken and even the ones that stayed behind. Lord, I just pray that we as Christians in this time of crisis and any other crisis we face in our life, as Daniel had countless others with lions' dens and just all these different crises, Lord, and these young men that faced a fiery furnace, we're not promised comfort, Lord, and there will always be, as long as sin is on the earth, there will be crises. So, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to live by faith, to not allow our fear to overcome us, but to live according to your word and to help others along the way. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. We are going to have a little bit of a prayer time now, so thank you for joining us. And we will be live streaming on Sunday, so we hope you'll join us then for a somewhat of a service on Sunday. Thank you.